Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shotty, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the Home Buying Blueprint, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
Earners, what's going on? Look, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Acorns. You know, investing can often feel intimidating and many people don't know where to start. Some think you need a lot of money to begin or that it's something you can put off because it doesn't seem urgent. Plus, with our busy lives, who has time to manage and research investments? That's where Acorns comes in. Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Personally, I found Acorns to be a game changer. It's really helped me get into the habit of investing without even thinking about it. Every time I make a purchase, a little bit of my spare change gets invested, and over time, those small actions have started to make a big difference. From Acorns, mighty oaks do grow, right? It's all about giving your money a chance to grow with Acorns. So if you want to start saving and investing for your future, head to acorns.com/earn. That's acorns.com/EARN or download the Acorns app today. And who would I be without giving you an important disclaimer? Client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/earn. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to talk to you about something that's been a real game changer for us and our business. ShipStation. If you're running an online store, you know how crucial it is to get your orders out quickly and efficiently, but it can also be one of the biggest headaches. That's where ShipStation comes in. With ShipStation, managing and shipping your orders is easier than ever. Whether you're selling on Amazon, Etsy, your own website, or all of the above, ShipStation funnels all your orders onto one simple interface that you can manage from anywhere, even your phone. ShipStation works with all major carriers, including UPS, FedEx, USPS, and more. You can easily compare rates and delivery times to find the best shipping option for you and your customers. Plus, you can automate almost any shipping task like creating shipping labels, tracking packages, and setting notifications for your customers. It's a huge time saver. For us, ShipStation has been a lifesaver. It's taken the stress out of shipping and fulfillment, allowing us to focus more on growing business. And the best part, it's incredibly affordable with options that fit any budget. So if you're ready to take your shipping game to the next level, head over to ShipStation.com and use the promo code EARN to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months of hassle-free, stress-free shipping for free. Remember, whether you're shipping a few packages a week or a few thousand, ShipStation makes it easy to manage it all. Go to ShipStation.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in EARN. ShipStation, make ship happen.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYL.
Yes, yes.
Have a special episode today. This is something that is in line with a big event that we have coming up that you might have heard called Investment.
Perhaps.
Annual return to Atlanta. So the Pink Nookie is an interesting herbal-infused feminine hygiene brand.
You got it.
Ricky and Brianna Murphy. And the reason how it ties into InvestFest is that they were actually vendors in the InvestFest marketplace for how many years?
This will be our third year.
Third year. So, yep. So the past 2 years, and it actually helped them. And now they're on the pathway of scaling their business. So it's going to be an interesting conversation as opposed to talking about where they started, mm-hmm. where they are now, the industry, And of course, InvestFest Marketplace. And the legendary vendor marketplace.
It's a legendary place, and we've met before, which is interesting. And y'all had the footage to prove it. We spoke the first year y'all got there, and y'all were in a different place. And then we spoke last year and took pictures, and y'all in a different place. And this year, you were gracious enough to come to the press conference for the announcement of InvestFest and share your story. So we're looking forward to continuing to watch the growth, because it's beautiful, right? We talk about something that started, and you got to watch every stage of it. I feel like that's what's happening here with y'all.
So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
So, all right, so let's get into this. So what exactly does your company do? Let's start there. And tell us the pathway, because you guys are originally from Indianapolis. You know, you left and moved to Atlanta. There's a whole story.
Yeah.
So tell us the story of how you even became entrepreneurs and started this company.
The Pink Nookie is a herbal feminine hygiene brand. Everything is handmade by me and my husband. And I got started during my pregnancy with our son. His testosterone kept my pH thrown off. And at the time, Ricky was a heroin addict. We were flat broke. I didn't have anything. So I had to look up holistic remedies with ingredients I could buy on my food stamp card. And so, you know, he seen how it was helping me. And he encouraged me to start giving samples away to friends and family. And then the response was so overwhelming, we just started selling the product.
And so it's... What exactly does it do, though? It helps women's pH balances?
Yeah, so I have a soap like all other, you know, soaps out there. But the thing about it is there's no chemicals. There's no harsh ingredients. Everything in the products, for the most part, outside of the soap is edible. So it has been known to help women with, you know, BV, yeast infections, or just like women, we have things for our hair. You know, so many hair products. Why not treat your vagina to the same type of luxury? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. pH balances can, like you said, it brought me back to my health bag.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, pH balance, don't know if yeast infection, bacteria. Like, so it's all these things. And most people will probably think, especially when I used to teach young adults, it would be like, oh my gosh, that's so disgusting. And then you look at the statistics, about 80% of women will have a yeast infection at some point in their life. And there's plenty of causes. It could be diet change, it could be pregnancy, like you said. It could be even for like people who are swimmers, right? Wearing wet clothes for too long. So there's all type of symptoms in it. But when you were thinking of the company, this is I'm sure everybody wants to know, right? The word nookie.
Yeah.
how did we surmise to that? And like, what was that process like of trying to come up with the name?
Well, at first the name was Brie Freshed because my name is Brianna and then PH Freshed. But I learned that not everybody has the same connection to my name as I do. So I rebranded to Pink Nookie, and it took off.
So, okay. So you start that, but it's trying times for you because you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I know, Ricky, you said you battling addiction, right? So how were you able to get clean, and how was that family unit able to survive those trying times to actually be able to start a business?
Yeah, I was able to get clean. I had to go sit down for like 6 months in jail. So that was like really what got me sober. So the 6 months and I came home. Well, it was started before I went in. But when I was incarcerated, she was telling me on the phone, like, oh, it's doing this. And it was during COVID, like doing like the hit, the beginning of it. So she on the phone telling me like everything's going good. Everything's going amazing. So when I came home, we got a men's line too. So before I came home, she asked me, did I want to start the men's line first? I'm like, no, I don't want to sell no penis products to no men. You know
what I'm saying?
I'm in jail right now, the tough guys. I'm like, no, I don't want to sell no
penis products. Hey, that's him right there with the penis product.
So, but when I came home, man,
one of y'all.
It was either get a job or go back to the streets. So for a minute, it was kind of a struggle because it was like, it ain't enough money for both of us. So I stayed down. I started the men's line. The Pink Nookie was going crazy. And it just started going off.
Yeah, you said, so COVID plays a pivotal part in the story. But during COVID, you had a job.
Yeah.
And you lost your job.
I had a job and I lost my job.
Yeah.
Like, I lost my job and then COVID hit maybe like 3 or 4 days later. And so then I'm like, well, dang, I'm never going to be able to find another job. I was working in payroll for Ascension. Mm-hmm. It's like they own all the Catholic hospitals. So that is my lane, HR. And so, you know, obviously COVID, everything shut down. So I took my last check and invested in actual bottles, because at first I was just using Tupperware containers from Dollar Tree, like condiment containers. Mm-hmm. And I was putting the products in there that way. But I took my last check and actually invested in bottles, and I never had to go.
Yeah, so it said $600, no job. We're putting it in containers.
And he went to jail.
He's in jail. But I think that at some point, he's like, you need to pitch this out to other people. People need to have that product. What was that like when you're initially saying, all right, I'm using it for myself, but now I can help other people?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people, like Ricky has a huge family. So, and a lot of women are in the family. So at first it was just me giving it to our friends and family, and they were noticing changes in their pH or, you know, just in their natural hygiene routine in using the product. And they were like, okay, now you're ready, like sell it. So I made a post on Facebook. I was posting like little pictures in the Tupperware container still, like, you know, hey, y'all, I have this product. It's $10. My first product was, it's called the Nookie Glaze now, but it was called Lip Gloss, and because it's for your other set of lips. But that was the first marketing product.
That's what made me tell her to sell it.
Good marketing.
So I did that, and I immediately had a good response. So
are those natural conversations, right? Even when you're talking to his family and y'all talking about feminine hygiene products, are those not awkward conversation, but is that commonplace? I don't know. As a woman, are we talking about pH balance? Are we talking about things that are going on down there?
I'm not going to say it's not natural. It's just the way you talk about it. Like sometimes, you know, you just come up with, like, there's all kind of brands out there. There's all kind of things out there. You know, we see it on the internet. And so it'll just be like a natural conversation. Like, what type of products do you use, or what soap are you using? And, you know, once you get in, like, you're pregnant. So we're bonding over being pregnant. Women are going through the same things. And so it's just like, hey, girl, I made this product to help me, here, try it. And that's how it happened.
So how much money did it start to, did it cost to start the business?
$600. That was my last check.
And then you just invested and just invested.
And remember, the ingredients were edible, so I was getting food stamps. So
the EBT card.
Yeah.
So you was using the items that you was buying on Food Champ stamps to make the product?
Yes.
So when did you really start to hit your stride and start to scale?
When COVID hit. When COVID hit and everybody was getting unemployment, you know, that was a time for the entrepreneur. A lot of businesses started around that time. And that's when I first noticed, like, okay, I'm making literally thousands of dollars a week on just selling my product. So right around that time was
it. Oh, so you was marketing on social media?
Yeah, that's all I've ever done. I just started running ads this year. Everything has been organic, just me making a post and people sharing it.
So you have like a fulfillment center, or are you just shipping out items yourself?
We are shipping out items ourselves still. We retired my mom. We have a brick and mortar location in our hometown, and she makes the products and ships the orders out of there.
And that's Indianapolis.
Yes.
So you have a brick and mortar in Indianapolis. People can't go and walk in and buy it.
Yes.
They can?
Yes. The warehouse is in the back. Our warehouse is in the back.
Okay. So what made you want to do that in Indianapolis and not in Atlanta?
That's where we're from. That's where I started at. We moved to Atlanta after, you know, seeing so much success at the store. We wanted to come down here and open like maybe a second location. And Investment Fest was our first event that we ever did in Atlanta.
And you were there?
Yeah.
So what when you get home, like, what's the reaction? Like, yo, we lit? Like, what's going on? Well, as soon as you touch down?
What's so crazy?
Thursday out.
She got kind of hesitant about, like, letting me come home to her because, you know, I was stealing money. I was, like, fucking up. Mm. Like, so she was scared. I go in, everything takes off and start going for it when I get out of her way.
Mm-hmm.
So on the way home, she like, oh no, I don't want to let you come back. Like, cause everything going good. I don't want to let you come back. And you come home and destroy everything I built while you was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home. I didn't grew and like change a lot. When I came home, I put it in their face. I'm sober. Like, I feel like I had a lot to prove, but it was amazing. I couldn't believe she did it. Like, I'm still in shock. Like, it was just like one day we was broke, car repo, car note, repo, house eviction. Then I go for 6 months and come home. She got like 15,000, 20,000. So
I moved up. He came home to a new house, everything. I was on my Keisha Kaur stuff. I was trying to make sure he came home to something that kept him.
It was all the way out in the boondocks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you know, a lot of people have not dealt with addiction, or they haven't had family members that dealt with addiction, and they look at people that are addicted to drugs as, like, you know, low lives and different things of that nature. But I want you to kind of tell the story of your story, if you can, to humanize it, right? Because it is a situation that a lot of people have battled with or are continuing to battle with. So how did you fall into that path, and how hard was it for you to actually kick the habit?
I started selling it. So in the process of me started selling heroin, I was popping pills too. So it was one day, all I had was the heroin. I didn't have no money though. So I'm waiting for a fiend to call or so I can make some money, buy some pills. So I'm withdrawing from the pills. I just talked myself into just snorting a line of the heroin to kill the shakes from the pills. Man, that one sniff
just took you down the path. You know, it's crazy that you say that, because I was listening to something on the news the other day about how heroin is how heroin is like real big, right? And they were saying they interviewed this one lady, and they was like, she's the least person that you would expect to be a heroin addict. She's like a white soccer mom from like Iowa or something. But long story short, she had a tooth infection, had to get a tooth pulled. They put her on prescription pain medication. She got addicted to prescription pain medication, then became an addict for prescription pain medication. Somehow she wasn't able to get prescriptions anymore. Like, the doctor said, no, you're going too crazy. So now she couldn't get prescription pain medication anymore. The cheapest, and get it on the black market, it costs so much. So the cheapest option at that time, which is similar, it's in the same family of drugs, is heroin. And then she took heroin one time and then got addicted to heroin and then became a heroin addict. Yeah. So it's like, you can see how, like, you know, and it's crazy, like, that's the same story. It's just, it's different paths as well, but you started with prescription, which people probably thinking, okay,
that's how it most likely happened, though, the prescription.
Yeah.
From what I experienced.
Yeah.
I got family members, car accidents, all kind of stuff. Just, man, that stuff is, it's power. I can't believe it's still legal.
Yeah. Like, it's the most addictive drug, right? Yeah. This is like, I used to teach this lesson. Like, people are like, no, it's marijuana, it's alcohol. I'm like, those are probably the most commonly used, but the most addictive, what it does to your body is heroin. Because once you use it within 24 hours, it's withdrawal, which is not common for most drugs. So that story is, so are you, I'm going to fast forward just a little bit. No, keep going, because I got a question.
How hard was it to kick?
Yeah, that's what I want to go.
Because I always heard that heroin is the hardest drug. Even people that sip lean, which is still kind of in that family, like, they go through, like, you could almost die. Like, they actually have to, what's the drug? They have a drug to wean you off of heroin.
Suboxone.
That, and then also methadone.
Yeah, methadone. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because it's like, you could literally, your body can go in shock. Mm-hmm. And you could actually die.
Yeah.
They addicted to them too, though. The Suboxone, methadone. It's still addictive because it's still making you feel the same as opioids.
So how hard was it to?
It was hard. Like
throwing up and stuff?
Like, I had to go to jail. That's how I did it. Like, I've been in rehab like 5 times. I never tried methadone, but I tried the Suboxone. It's a strip you take to put on your tongue. You get addicted to that too. They start, you can take a strip and put it in water, dissolve it, melt it, snort it. Like, right. It was hard though. It just took the simple 6 months. And even since then, I came home and relapsed like 3 times. Like, I done relapsed like 3 times in the last 3 years since I've been sober, but I shook it off though. So it's really impossible. Like, everybody tells me, like where I'm from, we don't know nobody who beats heroin.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? They either in prison or dead or something. They're not nowhere doing what I'm doing in the corporate world succeeding.
But I'm sure it helps the situation, right? As opposed to just being on your own.
Yeah.
Having,
I wouldn't have did it without
family.
Yeah. If I wouldn't have came home to the Pink Nookie, shit, I'd probably be somewhere dead or in jail. It really was saving me, the Pink Nookie.
Shout out to Brianna. I saw the tap, man.
Yeah.
I saw that tap. Yeah, shout out to. But I mean, this is all new for you, right? Yeah. You're coming home to Pink Nookie, but you starting Pink Nookie is new. So this entrepreneurial journey, like, what has that been like from the start? Did you feel that angst? Like, because everybody thinks, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, it's going to be great, I'm going to make money, we're going to make thousands of dollars, we're going to vacation when we want, we're going to earn our leisure.
No.
That's not really how it goes.
It was not how it went at all. And I never expected myself to be an entrepreneur. Like, I feel like I was pushed into this. Losing my job, what am I supposed to do? You know, I do have a product that was making money. But it was just I guess, second nature to be able to provide for my family. But it's been rough. I've lost friends. People who haven't even shot Pink Nookie will form this opinion, and they'll post on the internet to try to bash me and bash my brand. And the reason Ricky and I started being so open about our story was because people started telling it for us. So why not just tell it the right way? Let us do it. So then now you don't have anything else to say. Like, okay, yes, he was on heroin. Yes, I stayed with him. Yes, if you say so, I was done. Whatever you want to say. But the journey for doing all of that in public eye was rough. It's been many a nights I've cried. We've argued. Like, I'm the entrepreneur originally. So him coming home and being, you know, the spouse of an entrepreneur is like, I'm always in my phone. I'm not paying attention. I'm not doing the wifely role. I'm more in the business role. So that was an adjustment. It was a lot. And losing money, I've, you know, paid people to do certain things and gotten back bad work or not gotten what I paid for at all. So it's been a really rough journey.
So how big is your team right now?
It's just us, my mom. Four or five people.
So what's the roles?
My mom is like the store manager, fulfillment. She's making the product, so she's manufacturing, and she's shipping out the orders. And then
your social media manager.
Yeah, I have a social media manager. She does all of my posting, replying to DMs, things like that on the Pink Nookie end. But I do have a Facebook group called the Nookie Club. It's over 18,000 women in there now. I manage that by myself. Ricky's childhood friend, he is shipping out the orders or even doing our local deliveries in Indianapolis. So we're doing it all ourselves, and we get 1,000 to 2,000 orders a month. So,
wow. So let's talk about this monumental moment in the Pink Nookie journey. You hear about this thing called Invest Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through it.
Our social media manager, her name is Jaleesa. She sent me a post on Rashad's page, and it was like talking about Invest Fest, and it was like a week away, and you guys still have vendor slots open. But I'm like, well, I've never heard of Rashad or Invest Fest. And I clicked on this link. It's $2,000. I'm not doing it. And she said, read the comments. So I'm looking at the comments on your post, and so many people were like, Invest Fest changed my life, and it did this and it did that. And somebody said, well, I moved to Atlanta after I did Invest Fest. And that struck a nerve with me because we just came to Atlanta like a few months before we moved to do a vendor event, and just seeing like the culture there and how people really support Black businesses. And
like, unreal.
Yeah, that's not natural where we're from. So I'm like, forget it. We're moving to Atlanta. So that specific comment made me say, okay, let me just go ahead and buy the table. And then when I got the table, you know, we got there the way Invest Fest is, you know, you can come set up a day before. Well, we walked in, and everybody's booths are like outrageous. Here we come walking.
Intimidating.
All we have is a banner with the Pink Nookie logo on there and a pink tablecloth, like nothing. So while our team was bringing in products, I left and went to Hobby Lobby, like looking for little shelves to put on the table and everything. It was so crazy, but we sold out that event.
Worked it.
Yeah, we did.
And so, all right, so that was your first year. And then next year, which was last year,
mm-hmm.
What was the thought process going? So you was a seasoned veteran. You had 1 year under your belt. What was the thought process going into year two?
We invested in a totally different setup. Like, we had like a backdrop. It lit up with the logo and everything on there. I actually had people come down, and like my mom came, my social media manager came. We made sure we had, like, we shut the website and store down for a few days just to be able to make inventory for Invest Fest only, because it's crazy. Like, you have to have enough business card. I mean, it's just,
We hustle. Yeah. Like, because we hustle. We stand in the middle of the crowd.
Stopping everybody. You walking by, come here, let me show you.
So we had to be extra prepared because we know we're going to hustle. We got a big goal, so we can come to play.
Yeah. Year one, was there nerve, right? Was there anxiety built up of, like, hoping this worked? Because you didn't have the best experience.
Yeah.
That's the first question. And the second one was as far as inventory. Because I always wonder, right, when people are doing their vendor booths, do they realize what's about to happen?
No, they don't realize.
Did they over-prepare or did they under-prepare? So did you guys sell out of all products like day one, day two, or by day three? It was like, we got to figure something out. I got to go to the shop and make
stuff. First year, we had to go home that night and make stuff.
After Friday?
Yeah, the first year.
Okay.
We had to go home and make more stuff. And then the parking situation for InvestFest is crazy. So we had to walk with carts of stuff. You have to walk a while. So it's, I don't think anybody prepares for InvestFest. But last year I had, when I seen you guys announce the date, I shared it. I'm like, I'm going to this event again, change my life. And people from all over were writing me like, how did it change your life? And I gave them the same story that I told you guys, but I think they still underestimated, because when I went by their booths, they're still like sitting back in their phones, not missing people. I'm showing them all the pictures of everybody I've seen. They're like, I didn't see that person. Yeah, because you're in your phone. You're not paying attention.
I'm in that Rolodex.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, it's not just for investors. This is just a lesson in life, right? I feel like as an entrepreneur, like, you got to hustle. Like, nothing is going to just fall into your lap. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I learned. I was in sales before this, and I couldn't just sit behind my desk and just expect people to call me. Right. I would have to go out and get out of my comfort zone. And I feel like a lot of vendors don't fully understand that, right? And they feel like, okay, well, Rashad didn't come talk to me. Like,
yes.
It's like, it's 20,000 people there.
Yes.
I'm not the only person
but
here.
They told me that. I'm joking.
People there. Yeah. The thing about it is,
that's the part.
When you're thinking about doing InvestFest, look at the pictures of the people who you say are going to be there. Sometimes y'all don't have the pictures, but you have the names. Get familiar, Google those people, because they're going to walk through the marketplace. That's how you have it. Subconsciously, y'all have it set up for the vendors to win, but the vendors aren't paying attention, because the way to get to all the speakers, you have to go through the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Nobody can get anywhere without going through the, I mean, Steve Harvey, Tyler Perry, everybody walked through the market.
And that's the intention. We always try to walk the big names through just to create that buzz, create that, right. You never know. So last year, Jeezy did a book signing. We walked Steve Harvey through.
Dan Cathy walked through on his own.
You met Dan Cathy.
Yeah.
So tell us about that experience. Money.
I feel like I did.
It was you. Tell the story then, because you did bring him to me.
It was a Sunday.
Yep.
And it was Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this man walking through here with Chick-fil-A on
and it was
Sunday.
Early, mind you.
It's probably like 8:30. Yeah. 8:30.
Like, nobody wasn't even there. It's probably like 3-4 vendors out.
Yeah.
I remember.
And he had bags in his hand.
Of Chick-fil-A. That is the thing that got me. Like, so we're setting up our booth and Ricky's like, who is that man? I said, I don't know. He got Chick-fil-A. So he like, shoot, let's throw some, we throwing products in the bag to catch, because he's all the way past.
Yeah, and he had his name tag on.
So we went and took pictures with him and everything, and when it came time to take the picture, of course, me and Ricky are together. He's like, oh, put the rose in between the two thorns. And he was just so cool. Like, he talked about the
products. We got him men's products and women's products.
That's the thing. And what you're saying is correct, right? So, like, even in the lobby part, everyone's face who's speaking is there.
Yeah.
And so the names are there, the faces are there. Like, I remember last year walking through with Robert Smith, and I brought him over to a booth. And I won't say the business, but they had no idea who he was. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, well, let's just keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going.
Even if I don't know who a person is, you can kind of tell. So I'm going to take a picture and then I'm Google image search it later. I'm like, oh, I got a picture with this person.
That's how I did too. Yeah. It was like 5 people we took pictures with later on. Google, I'm like, oh, okay.
Because I didn't know who Mike's wife was at first.
Okay.
But I took a picture with her. And then Mike came around. And then he's so cool. And he's like, yeah, I got to bring my wife back. And he brought her back. I'm like, all right, talk to her. Like,
DJ Scream did that first year.
Yep, he brought his wife back.
We talked to him about our store and products. He's like, I'm going to bring my wife back. We're like, all right. And he
came back,
brought his wife back. This was the first time we went to InvestFest.
How important is it? You talked about giving product away to, like, you know, celebrities and stuff like that. How important is that? Like, talk about that as a marketing strategy.
Like, see, I come from the streets, so, you know, in the streets, you get it, the junkies, the free products to make them some. And if the product's good, it's going to sell itself.
That's a fact.
So that's really a big part of us succeeding, is just, like, coming from where we come from, coming from poverty, that helps. That really is a plus for, like, the hustle. So it's always in my eyes, like, how is it going to hurt? What's going to hurt?
Or even if you don't take it, because I've had celebrities like, oh, I don't want to take it. Or, you know, obviously I'm in a feminine hygiene lane, so sometimes it's kind of sketchy on it. But 9 out of 10, I'm going to have on a pink nookie shirt. You're going to take a picture with me. Your face is clickbait. So I'm going to post a picture and it's going to bring more people to my page just because, you know, it's a celebrity. They're like, I took a picture with Dame Dash. I had gave him the men's product, and it's called the Log Cleanser. And he was like, "Log Cleanser?" But he took a picture. Yeah. He took a picture with me and everything.
Like Emmett from the Shy, he didn't even want the products, but I still got a picture with him.
Yeah.
I told him to hold it. Like, I'm aggressive. So, hold it. Like, they don't even get a chance to say no, huh? Snap a pic. All right, cool. The people going to think he got it. You know what I mean? So, it's really, it'd be simple. People make stuff so hard.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's a room full of people. What's so hard? 20,000 people, hundreds of celebrities.
Target audience is there.
And they coming to spend money.
Right.
Like, yeah. So all you got to do is just sell the product.
So that's important. The money part is important. So how many products do we have? Well, for him is the men's brand, mm-hmm. Yes? Yeah. And then Pink Nookie. How many products does each brand have?
Pink Nookie has about 13, mm-hmm. but I have a top six that I take everywhere or that I push the most. Mm-hmm. So that's what I bring. And I always sell out of them.
So when you bring the, I'm assuming when you're thinking about an event, let's say InvestFest, you're saying I'm going to bring the top six or the top three. And then how are you managing price points, right? Because we want to make sure that this is profitable for us when we make sure when we get the booth. Is that like the team meeting before? Is it like a strategy that goes into preparing for an event like that?
I sold the products at the same price I always do. But, you kind of gauge the person you're talking to. And if I can kind of tell, like, okay, they want to buy, but they maybe can't afford it at the moment, then I'll change the price, give them a discount or oh, we're at InvestFest. Use InvestFest to get 30% off or whatever the case may be mm-hmm. to secure the sale. Because like you said, once you get the product, you'll come back. So, and I can tell that worked because every year our business doubled after InvestFest.
So how many people did you bring?
To work with them? Two.
Two people. So yeah, so every vendor.
Our first year, we didn't have anybody. It was us.
Every vendor gets three tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. You actually get tickets to InvestFest too, even though it's kind of difficult to really do two things at one time. So you're not going to be able to really watch somebody speak while you're trying to sell your product. But theoretically, if you have a shift working, then one person could be floating. But for people that are looking to do events, and like I said, this is just best practice for events, period. What are some tips that you can give them as far as you should have your payment processing system down, right? Like a credit card reader.
Yes.
You got to have somebody that's on the staff that's kind of like working, right? You got to make sure you have enough inventory. What are some tips that you should give people that's like looking to do events?
I will say after the first year of us doing InvestFest and seeing how it was, we bought other people tickets. Yes, we get the free tickets, but we bought tickets. To have more, yes, and have more people.
The hotel room for them to stay.
Yeah, we pay for the rental car, the hotel, everything because we knew by the second year like what to expect. And like you said, shifts. Like for me, Ricky is the more outgoing one, so I'm always at the booth. He goes and gets people. He brings the people to me, and I secure the sale. That's just how it works. Like we play off of each other. You can't just be sitting at your booth waiting on people to walk by and. Seem interested because if you seem uninterested, why should they care what you're selling? So that's one thing. Always have business cards. Another thing I do is email marketing. People sleep on that, but it's so important. So I have a sign up sheet. Like whether you buy or not, hey, can you write your name, phone number down, email down? And we manually add those to our list.
I collect the data.
Yeah. Because again, if I can get your email, I can convert you eventually. I send out 2 emails a week. So.
How about a sales team? Is it just you, right? This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest. Mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, Why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Even prep for that, because Shadi comes from a sales background. I don't come from a sales background.
I don't either.
It's like, is it just something naturally that's been gifted to you? You just had to develop this over a period of time.
I feel like I live by, if I don't hustle, I don't eat. So, I mean, I'm dependent on this. So
everything is self-taught. Yeah. Like, we never had no mentors, no guidance. We don't have entrepreneurs in our family. Like, we jumped in head first, self-taught everything. Social media. Everything we taught ourselves.
I'm post 3 times a day on social media. You got to think the average person checks their phone when they wake up, on their lunch breaks, and while they're in the bed. So I make sure that every time they open up one of those apps, I'm seeing.
What kind of social media are you posting? Like, what is it, engaging content? Is it just pictures of your product? Like, what do you usually post on social media?
It kind of depends on the day. But I always make maybe a post talking about Pink Nookie, or like me and Ricky, our relationship is public, you know, people look at us like a couple goals, I guess, even though it's kind of strange. But like I'll say, me and Ricky I have a product called Nookie Fruit. It's like Viagra for women. It's just a natural supplement. But I'd be like, Ricky made me mad, but I'm about to pop me a Nookie Fruit. And, you know, just engage in things like that. And people like, oh, Nookie Fruit, what's Nookie Fruit? Or the people who do use that product, they're commenting their story. So it kind of depends on what's going on. You have to stay up with the trends. Like when Kendrick Lamar just said the big three, we made a graphic and posted the Pink Nookie's big three. Like, you just have to stay up with the times.
And you're forward facing, like people know that you're the owner of it.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's an advantage or a disadvantage?
Both. I feel like I'm very accessible. I engage all the time. I'm doing lives. And I feel like with that, people feel like they know me and they're obligated to talk to me. Like you said, InvestFest is 20,000 people. They might not be able to talk to you, but I have people who won't shop if they can't talk to me, or if they're sending an email and my team is saying, you know, helping them, they're like, well, no, I want to talk to Bree. So that's kind of the bad part about it. But the good part about it is women see me and relate to me and shop with me because they can see themselves in me.
Did the social media, I guess from Instagram, did that influence the Facebook group? Because you said, I mean, even in the bio it was 13. Now I'm seeing it as 18,000. That's a lot of people to be communicating with. With all women, which is powerful because we know
they have the buying power.
They have the buying power. That's a fact. What inspired that? What takes place inside of that community?
Well, Instagram, I'm not viral on at all. I can't seem to get that. But Facebook, I went viral. What's that song? TLC. You know when she says she's back, I'm back, or something like that. What song is that? Creep?
Creep, I think.
Yeah, well, I was sitting on the toilet, and I said BVB, like, I'm back, and I had Pink Nookie products in there. That was my first reel that went viral with 1 million views, and just the comments were awful. Like, so many women were like, well, what's BV, or I've never, you know how they get. It's just everybody has this superior coochie, I guess, but
never happened to me.
Yeah, so I just noticed, like, that's what made me hone in on the Nookie Club, and really give women a safe space to talk about things that women go through.
Being vulnerable, being honest,
yeah,
being authentic.
Yes. So that's all we talk about in Nookie Club is Pink Nookie or women's issues.
So community, you built a community.
Mm-hmm.
So how important is it to, you have like a nickname for people?
I call them Nookie Gays. But having a community is important because they do the marketing for me.
They ain't going to do whatever she say. It's like a beehive, like somebody sneak this Pink Nookie. She don't even got to say nothing. We don't even got to say nothing no more. They going, you make a post, say something about Pink Nookie, they just going to flood you and make you deactivate your page.
Was there any moment that shocked you? Maybe like from an impact standpoint or a reach standpoint, you got somebody throughout the world. You're like, I didn't even know that the influence could go this far. Has that happened?
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff that goes on in the Nookie Club that it's people from all over the world there.
Planes, the airport.
What are they? Flight attendants. I got on a plane to go somewhere and she was like, oh my God, you're Pink Nookie. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so.
And that's not her. I like the attention. She don't.
Yeah.
So her getting the most attention is like just so cringe to her.
Yeah. It's so, I mean, I love it, but it's kind of weird for people to know my face. So
she get all the likes. Like I was the popular one. She was like the one nobody knew. But now she's, I post stuff on her page because her page got the most engagement now. Like, but she doing good though. She got it. Tuck it up.
It's coming. It's the part of it.
This is it.
So how is it working together and being in a relationship together?
It got as good and bad.
Yeah, I mean.
So many disagreements. Money. I like to spend money. She don't. She explained it better.
You did a video not too long ago where you were talking about being married to somebody who's always late on their bills or not paying. I hurried up and pulled it up, showed it to him like, hey, now you have to. But no, for real, that's how it is. Like, we're total opposites in most aspects. But we had to learn to separate business and personal. That was the main thing. Because if you're mad at me personally, and then I'm trying to talk to you about Pink Nookie, and he's like, I don't want to talk about that. And I'm like, Ricky, you cannot let what we're going through in our personal life impact our business relationship. So if you would have asked me 3 or 4 years ago, I would have said never go into business with your partner because it was the worst. But now that we've both grown, I would rather do it with him than anybody else.
It's the patience too. A lot of people don't got patience. Like, hey, like a lot of people probably would have been through it away. It's like we seen the vision from the jump though. We like we can't let it go. If we gotta do this to keep it going, we gotta do whatever we gotta do because it's too big.
Yeah.
So as far as expansion, how do you see the company expanding? Like, what's your goal for scaling?
Before now, I never seen it being anything besides like us just selling it ourselves, like my mom making the products. But now that I'm starting to go through certain testing, like stability testing to make sure, you know, I don't need certain preservatives and things like that, it's opened me up to open my mind. And so now I want to do big box stores like Target, Ulta, Sephora, things like that. I want to make feminine hygiene not be so taboo. Like, everybody has to wash up every day. Just because you have a certain soap for your vagina doesn't mean anything is wrong with you. So that's really the goal in scaling, like, you know, get in certain stores and change the atmosphere around feminine hygiene.
Is that for both brands? Because for him, I'm assuming, is it on the same trajectory? How does that work for the male side?
Well, it's right under it. Everything we do for Pink Nookie, we do for the men's line
too. Mm-hmm.
So it's the same goals.
Get them both in there.
So you about to ask a question?
Yeah, I was going to say from a scaling standpoint, because this is important, we start with $600. Mm-hmm. Where are we at in terms of sales from year to year, right? Because the way I'm looking at it, like, business grows after InvestFest in 2022. Business doubles by 2023. Where are we headed for 2020? So, how's the scaling going in terms of revenue?
To put it in perspective, our first year during InvestFest, we were making $10,000 a month. Would you say that? $10,000. Now we're doing like almost $200,000 a month. Last year was our first $1 million year.
Wow.
We're 100% self-funded. We still haven't figured out the business credit and things like that. Being, you know, at InvestFest and listening to you guys is opening our ears to that and trying to learn that. that path. But right now we are a $1 million brand, just us, with just us.
We made $1 million before we even really knew what financial literacy was.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So have you thought about taking outside money, like investors?
I've thought about it, but I'm so scared of it. Just because, you know, I watch a lot of stuff on TV and people's businesses get taken, or even like, you know, recording artists, they get in these bad deals and they're getting pennies while people are getting rich off of them. So I'm not opposed to doing it, but I just will have to make sure it's the right relationship.
The education around it is what makes it fearful?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Because it's unknown. And I feel like when you meet us, you can tell that we're green. So you'll get yourself in a situation where people are trying to take advantage of us not knowing certain things. So.
Yeah.
Because you'll be like thinking they make a lot of money, but they don't really know the business aspects behind a business like everybody else, but they got the brand though. So I think that's what people see. But
so as far as, like you said, your goal is to move into like Target and like big box stores. What's the strategy to actually make that happen?
Right now we're rebranding it. Everything that we've done thus far, we did ourselves, making our own labels, our own logos, our own website. So now we are working with people who have done what we're trying to do. My new creative director, she has products in Sephora, so she's teaching us, you know, the requirements to get into those type of stores, making sure I have, you know, barcodes already, making sure that I've done all the testing that's required so that when I do go to the big box stores and present myself, I'm already there. And my audience is already there. They don't have to worry about, you know, how they see other brands. Oh, they changed the ingredients or they sold and the product changed. Like, we're on the path to make sure that we're giving the same quality all the way through.
How's the retention rate for the customer? Are people returning and they're buying?
I have a 68% retention rate.
And that's pretty good. Is there a subscription model as well?
I do offer a subscription.
This is pretty good stuff.
You can build your own subscription and you can do it monthly or quarterly.
So as far as, like, you know, just from a financial literacy standpoint, you guys coming into, you know, starting a business and making $1 million in the business and, you know, having more money come in a short period of time, has there been challenges as far as managing the money?
Yes.
Knowing what to do with it?
Yes.
Blew the bag a few times.
In the beginning, we were literally running sales, like, all month, spent all the money all month, and then right before the day or two before rent is due, we're running a sale to make the rent money. Like, we have been that low. Like, we've had $50,000 months, and at the end, we have $0. So that was rough for us, but now we have... we have employees. So we have people who are banking on us to make sure that they can provide for their families because everybody's full time. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has anything else. So that's the thing that I feel like made us grow up when it came to the money. And then just looking at what we spend every month to try to find ways to save. Those are other things that we've learned too.
Is there a specific time of year that you see increase in sales? I know, like, sometimes around Black Friday is a big sales day. Obviously, the holiday.
Tax time.
Is tax time tax a big topic?
Yeah, I call it tax miss.
Explain that. Go ahead.
Tax miss. It's better than Black Friday almost.
Really?
Quarter one this year, we've done almost 500,000. But that was what we did Black Friday last year for that quarter. So we've already done that quarter one. So I'll say tax miss is the best because I have women, you know, who have the buying power, but a lot of them are mothers. And so they're using their tax checks. Like, I have one customer who she shops once a year. And usually it's Black Friday, but this year it was the first part of the year. She buys 15 every item and I don't see her again for another year. So when you think about women are doing things like that to just stock up and put themselves in better positions and what they need for self-care. So that's been a good one for us.
All in the name of hygiene.
Yeah.
So as far as, you know, branding outside of social media, how have you guys marketed and branded your product?
I keep my nails pink all the time. So people always say, oh, I like your nails. And why do every time I see you have pink? I have a brand called Pink Nookie. Or I had pink in my hair at one point. I just make sure I have something with the brand.
Text message campaign.
Yeah. We do send text and email marketing a lot. Fashion Nova is crazy with the text message marketing. So I kind of.
What do they do?
They send out texts like every day.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like one was like, your order is guaranteed to come faster than your man. Like, so I'm like, okay. And when you get on social media, you see everybody talking about Fashion Nova.
Fashion Nova just sent this text.
Yeah. So that's what I try to do. Like last week, I did drop and give me 50 Kegels, like stuff like that. Like it gets the people going.
Yeah.
So,
that's hard. That's hard.
Looking for InvestFest this year, what are some things that you guys are going to do differently this year than you've done in the past?
We're getting that premium booth.
Definitely have to have that premium.
All right.
He's close to the right guy.
Need that premium booth. And then this year I want to do like...
Well, talk about the why that's important, like location, right?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Every year we've had a good booth, but... When you guys do the walkthrough, it's certain aisles that you guys go through. You're not going through the back aisles or the middle ones. You're going through the premium booths. And that's where everybody is, like 19 keys. Everybody has a premium booth. So
I think the faster you buy, the better your booth is. Yeah. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, because you get to pick on the website.
Last year,
first come, first serve.
As soon as y'all dropped it, we brought it and we was across from the EYL University booth.
Oh, okay.
That's how we ended up Mike.
Good location.
Yeah. And I seen Mike. I didn't even know who Mike was. I just seen him at the booth. I seen his face out in the hallway. I said,
"Brady." Yeah. We went back and gave
him the product. Next morning, I pulled down on him. Asked him. I'm aggressive. He gave me his personal number and everything. Like after I talked to him, told him my story, he gave me his number. That's probably like the closest thing I had to a mentor since we started.
Yeah, for sure.
That's dope, man. That's dope.
So, I think that it's always an exciting time, but it's important to make sure you got your business correct. Like a lot of people be excited. Like, I'm going to be a vendor at InvestFest, but that's cool. But make sure you got a strategy. Make sure you got the logo correct. Make sure you got enough inventory. Because especially this year at Vendor Marketplace, we haven't announced it yet, but we got some pretty dope vendors that are going to do activation. So it's going to be that vendor marketplace is always a vibe, but this year I think it's going to be even more of a vibe.
Make sure you got business cards.
Make sure you got the right shoes. If you don't hustle like us, we pulling 12-hour shifts 3 days in a row. That's not 12 people.
You got to be comfortable.
12-hour shift 3 days in a row.
And get there early.
Yeah.
Get there early. I know, like, I feel like the past couple of years, I've always met y'all in the morning.
In the morning.
It'd be like 9 o'clock, I'm doing laps to see what's going on.
Got to deal with a crowd of people down around.
I ain't even got my fit on yet.
Yeah, it's not enough people to run to you yet.
Yeah.
So I feel like when you are there earlier, everybody is kind of more relaxed. When the crowds of people start coming, then you obviously naturally have to be more.
You know, what's crazy is that, so we brought Robert Smith through last year. And some people knew who he was, but a lot of people, like, he was able to walk through with no problem. Like, it wasn't like, you bring Steve Harvey through and it's like a tsunami.
Yeah.
Like, he walked through.
Yeah, I brought him past our booth, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this one, yeah.
Yeah, so it's crazy. But like you said, as far as the early bird catching the worm and the Dan Cathy story, I think is good because Sunday is the last day of the event. That was 2 years ago, and he came very unassuming, name tag, stuff like that. So, he was there before vendors.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why somebody that's worth $7 billion is there before a small business vendor, and it's their business. Like,
what are you doing?
Wall Street Trapper, he put us on his live.
Yeah, that
early
was
the morning.
Yep.
It is. That's how it happened.
God, you got to be there. I always tell people, man, like, early birds catch the worm. Like, you never know.
Yeah. You literally never know.
And that's the thing. Like, I'm replaying the story in my head. I'm like, you saw him. He was actually lost.
Yeah.
He was just trying to find
the right spot. Yeah. He didn't know where to go.
He didn't know where to go.
He was like, oh, they're over there. Just go. Yeah. But we made sure to talk to him first.
That's a fact.
I'm gonna get you where you need to go.
From that moment, I walked with him, showed him around, and then I was able to introduce him to Don Peebles, who he had never met.
Mm.
And so now you got these billionaire tycoons in respective spaces are now meeting for the first time. So to witness that was crazy. But to start with y'all trying to figure out, oh, there he is. Go there.
Go over there.
So as far as you guys looking at, you know, you move to Atlanta, and Atlanta is the place of InvestFest, but it's also entrepreneurship hub of Black America. How has your experience been in Atlanta as far as meeting people, networking? Like, how has your experience been in Atlanta as entrepreneurs that's moving from out of town?
Amazing.
Amazing. Like, so as soon as we came, like the love, the man, it's just, when I explain it to people, I just be like, bro, it's made for us. Like, you want to succeed in the world, go to Atlanta. And that's from experience, though.
Because you and me, they're regular people, but they're not regular people. But they're doing regular people things, like just out to eat. Or he has season passes to the Hawks games. Like, the amount of people we've met just going to a basketball game is insane.
And I don't even watch sports.
Yeah. Even that, the brand of choice that y'all have on today is a testament to that, right? Yeah. Like, y'all are wearing Milano. For those who were not to know. But yeah, it was just y'all ran into her. Mm-hmm. Y'all were looking for this. And she said, no
it
problem.
It was sold out on the site.
On the website.
She said, let me, she took a picture of my contact card and she had her assistant text me and had what we needed Uber to us the next day.
Because I feel like a lot of Atlanta gets a lot of bad rap and for people, but I don't think that's people that's fully experienced it, right? And it's like coming from other places. It's not the same. Like, you know, that level of, like, sometimes you got to be inspired and be in the right situation to have the ability to grow. And it's like a lot of small towns or different cities and different things of that nature. And it's like, it's a crab in a barrel mentality. And it's not a lot of people that are doing the same thing that you're doing. So it's difficult to kind of grow if you're not in the right environment.
And you have to go to the right places. Like, you can't say, I'm moving to Atlanta to grow, and you're not in any places that business owners are. You just only in the clubs, or you only at the bars. Like,
we don't even go out. Like, when people come to Atlanta, oh, what's this? We be like, we don't know.
What's the best restaurant? Have no clue.
We on business.
And even like our lawyer at InvestFest, Brandon Williams is our lawyer.
Yeah, really?
But our
he was
first,
supposed to be here, but he said he had a family emergency.
Yeah. But our first year, or one of the years at InvestFest, he walked right past us. Like, we were trying to give him something, he just kept on going. And so now it's like, now he's our attorney.
But tell that story, girl. That's a good story, too, because he works for Steve Harvey. He's Steve Harvey's lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And now he represents you guys. So how'd you make that connection?
InvestFest.
There you have it.
InvestFest. Like, that's all I can say is, like, and he is, like, people always say, oh, he's somebody. Like, he is.
Very respected.
Yes.
Yeah, on the earth.
Yeah, and he took us, our first time meeting him, he took us to the Four Seasons and for breakfast, and we were like, what do we wear and what do we do? And he was just so, like, cool. Like, he just is regular.
Yeah,
that's, like, that's the morning office.
We saw him there a while ago.
Yeah.
And they know him by name there. They're like, yeah, but Mr. Williams comes all the time.
A lot of people are fearful of moving out of their environment. What do you say to those people that, like, you know, sometimes you just got to take a leap of faith and leave the place that you grew up in, leave the familiar surrounding, leave the family that you know, right? It's difficult to
sacrifice.
Leave. How do you, what kind of advice would you give to those type of people?
It's a big world out there.
Don't think about it. Just do it.
Yeah. And people get so caught up in friends and family supporting them. Like, it's a big world out there. It's way more people. And you will turn a stranger into a customer before you turn a family member or a friend into a customer. So my biggest thing was just knowing, like, I already dominated in my city, but I want so much more. And I don't feel like I would have ever done that if I would have just stayed in Indianapolis and just been content with the support I got there.
And where we from, everybody that made it left, like Mike Epps, Vivica Fox, Babyface, everybody from our hometown that made it left. Nobody made it living in Indianapolis.
What part? East?
East side.
Yeah, east side.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of these things where I feel like...
Ain't our friend Ian from the east?
No,
he's from Chicago.
Yeah, he's from Chicago.
I feel like it's one of these things that I always say, you can always come back home.
Yeah.
Right? If worse comes to worse, you move, you're an actor and you're trying to move to LA or you're trying to go to Atlanta or one of these Miami's, one of these places. If it doesn't work out, you could always go home. Right? Like, you know that. You're familiar with that situation. But what about the regret that you're going to have because you never knew what would have happened. If it's like that Drake song, like, I'm leaving. Like, what would have happened if you would have packed your bags and left, right? You always got to live with that regret, thinking about, damn, I never know what could have happened. At least you knew. If it didn't work out, at least you know I gave it my all, I tried. You know, things didn't happen. Now I'm going
to
come back home.
And even then, for me, going home is not an option either. It's somewhere else to go.
Whoever said it was going to be easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. That's why when stuff happened to us, I'd be like, it don't faze me because I already knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. Like, so being uncomfortable, oh, I don't want to leave. I don't want to move. So you just not going to move because you don't want to. Maybe you got to move. Like, I got a daughter. My daughter still living in Indianapolis, my oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a sacrifice. She know what I'm doing here. She knows she's going to win off of it in the future.
Yeah,
you're building a legacy, man. It's incredible. $600, no job, in jail, sleeping on the floor, making a decision to come to an event. That turning into $1,000 business, to $1 million business, to a multi-million-dollar business. It's an incredible story. You said you dominated in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Is the plan to dominate Atlanta? Are we going to get a storefront? Are we going to see this pop up in other cities? What are we looking at?
I want to make sure we have a headquarters, maybe the main warehouse that's in Atlanta. But I definitely do want to, if I don't go in the big box stores, I do want to have Pinky stores just everywhere. One thing we're looking at doing right now in the Nookie Club, like I said, it's 18,000 women in there. Where are they from? Any places where I have 30 to 40 people, I want to start doing pop-ups, meet and greets or, whatever. And just getting our name out in other cities, because yes, we live in Atlanta. Yes, we lived in Indianapolis, but I feel like that face-to-face marketing is really what makes the determination on how far you can go. Because if you're just using social media, as we can see, those apps go down all the time. So the next best thing is to get out there and do it.
The organic.
Yeah. It feels like when Peaky Cole was telling us her story and the origin stories, it was people connected with her. Mm-hmm. And so they supported what she had. I feel like there's a lot of synergy there, right? They connect with you, obviously, in this community. So they're going to support what you have. So, I mean, we saw her trajectory. I feel like
we use our personal brand to help the business too.
Right,
who don't know or have been on, that's why I'm open with my story. We open with our story. Like, so many people can relate. So I want to relate to everybody, the rich people, the poor people. Just be relatable. That's another goal.
So as far as you guys looking forward, right? Well, let me ask you this too. This is interesting. So you started and you was buying products with your food stamps and making it. I'm assuming that's not happening
anymore. Yeah, not anymore.
How are you making the products now? You got a warehouse that's actually making products? Is it made in China and shipped to America?
No, everything is still 100% handmade. My mom is doing it now because one thing we learned with doing taxes and stuff, everything that I would have to pay the same taxes to Georgia and Indianapolis. So our business is just done out of Indianapolis just to, limit my tax liability. But my mom hand makes every single product that we make or that we sell is still handmade by my mom in the back of our store. So
by going forward, at some point, she's not going
to
probably be.
Oh, yeah. Right? We bought bottle fillers and things like that. But I do want to get with the lab. That was why I started doing certain type of testing, because labs, the type of products I sell are not looked at by the FDA. It's, Food and Drug Administration. So, but when you start dealing with labs, they have certain laws and things that they have to abide by. So they can't make a product that is not safe for use. Mm-hmm. And I can say all day, well, I've been selling this product for 5 years. Nobody has done this, but legally that's not good enough. So there's tests that we ran on every product, and the tests are not expensive, $3,000 per product. Just to make sure that it's not growing yeast or what's it called, MRSA, or all those other little bacterias in there. So we've done those and we passed those for now. But then the next thing is stability testing, the type of packaging that we sell it in, because if you change the packaging, it could change what the product does in it.
Mm-hmm.
So just making sure we're doing all of those things to get with a lab that can mass produce so that we can get our shipping time frame down, because right now every order goes out in 10 business days. But if I had 10,000 products on hand, I could be like Amazon, so to speak.
And that process also helps when you're trying to get into the box store.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. Because then it allows me to sell more inventory to them, and it'll be safer for the consumer, because it's this bottle could be sitting forever. They don't want to have mold and things like that floating in the bottle because it's been sitting. So,
gotcha.
Well, Pink Nookie, be on the lookout for this year's Invest Fest. What are the website? What's the social media and everything that the people can follow you on?
Everything is The Pink Nookie. That's TikTok, Instagram. The website is www.thepinknookie.com.
How old is your child?
He's six.
Six? So is he going to be involved in a business at some point?
We have three all together, 11, 10, okay. and 6. The middle child, she wants to be like everything that I need. So she wants to be my mate. She's watching how to do makeup. She took a photography class. She wants to be to help me save money. She feels like we spend too much money doing stuff. So she wants to do that. Our son is, he has main character energy. So he wants to be rich and famous. He wants people to know who he is. So that's him. And then our oldest, she likes like working at the store, running a cash register, and actually engaging with the customers. Like, she likes that people knows who we are. So I think they all will want to do something, but I don't want to force them if they don't want to.
There you have it.
Love it. Love it.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you guys for coming and sharing your story. And much success. And I look forward to seeing you this year at Invest. And I'll stop by this year, too.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure I bring them.
Yes, make sure you bring them.
Sure. All right, guys. Thank you for rocking us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.